Blog Talk Radio.
Helen on Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his wonderful name together. Truly today is another glorious day in the Lord, and we're going to exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on today. And I am so excited that you have joined me on today. I tell you, you are in for another glorious, glorious treat, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be greatly, greatly blessed. I want you just to come right on in and grab your Bible and make yourself right at home. Truly, God is going to bless us in a mighty and a special way. And so on today, we're going to be talking about another wonderful, wonderful lesson on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is going to bless you. So grab your Bible, come on in, and let us just move forward in the wonderful things of the Lord on today. Our lesson on today is going to be God revealed himself in love. And so we're going to look at several passages of scriptures on today, and I want you to go with me over to 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 16, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through verses 4, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses number 14. And I know that was a lot of scriptures, but we'll read those scriptures again as well. And so let's take a look now and things at the word of the Lord. The scripture that we're looking at on today is going to be the first one. It's going to be 1 John chapter 4, verses 4, verses 8 and verse 16. And it reads on this line, "And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 16, "For we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 4 reads, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountain and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not and vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 reads, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. We all are dead." Now let's look further at the word of the Lord on today and things as we look at the scripture and gain a better understanding about what the word of the Lord is saying on today. Now, love is one of the most overused words sometimes in the English dictionary or English language. There is a wide variety in the intended concept by the word love, and there's a difference between the word called love and what the Bible called love. The world prints "I love you" on cars, personal notes, and even sing them in lyrics and things. That's on the emotional, pulling deeply on the emotional string. The world even idea of love cheapens it with lifestyle that lack moral commitment between individuals. Although many devalue this expression of endearment. The true meaning of love remains. The true love is a powerful, motivating force. Anger and hatred, in other words, of the flesh are strong, but godly love surpasses all of them. Now, two hallmarks of great nature, his love, holiness, and his love, dramatically affects his relationship with mankind. We're talking about God's relationship with mankind. Now, he has always desired to share his love and holiness with humankind, but Adam and Eve fall in the garden made it impossible for them to continue experiencing communion with God. However, even though Adam and Eve sinned, imputed unrighteousness to the human race and ruined the mankind's communion with the Creator, God still loved them and promised to a future Redeemer. And you'll see that over in Genesis 3, verses number 5, actually 3:15. Now, this promise gave mankind the first hope that a deliverer would come. Now, God's plan for redemption required a blood sacrifice. This first known indication of blood sacrifice was when God sacrificed animals and used their skin to clothe Adam and Eve. Another early indication of animal sacrifice appeared in Abel's offering to God of the firstlings of his flock. You'll see that over in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4. And after God's first promise to redeem mankind, he slowly worked towards the fulfillment of his plan. Two millennia passed before he founded the Hebrew nation through Abraham, and about 500 more years passed before he gave the law through Moses. Now, the law served as a schoolmaster to eventually lead mankind to Jesus Christ. And you'll find that over in Galatians 3, verse 24. Now, the law required the blood sacrifice of bull and goats, but they only forestalled the judgment, and they were unable to remit sin and reconcile individuals to God. Then, in the fullness of time, God manifested himself in the Son of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God as Jesus Christ. And we'll find that over in Galatians 4 and 4. Now, on the cross, he also provided the ultimate sacrifice for sin as a true Lamb of God, offering himself for us, the sins of all the world. It was the ultimate demonstration of love. Now, the scriptural ideal of love is quite different from the world's contemporary idea. This is clear when comparing three Greek words that represent three concepts of love, eros and filial and agape. Eros characterized the world's concept of sensual, lustful love, and it does not appear even in scripture. Filial is a type of love that existed in family relationship, friendship, and the love of the world for its own. Now, Jesus used filial to describe the love of hypocrites for their loud public prayers in the marketplace and the love of the Pharisees for the supermost room at the feast. And they want the utmost room even in the feast. Now, the highest form of love, however, is that represented in the Greek word agape, which is committed and selfless love that characterizes the love of God. Now, Jesus taught his disciples to love him, their neighbors, and even their enemies with the kind of love expressed by the word agape. Now, this kind of love is by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we'll find that over in Galatians 5, verses 22-23. Further, it is unselfish, sacrificial, and pure in its motive. Paul described true agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, the scripture revealed God's love for sinful mankind. For example, Romans 5 and 8 said, "But God commended his love, agape, towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And you'll see also John 3:16-17, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Now, Jesus revealed that people would identify believers through their demonstration of godly love and action. Only the indwelling Spirit of God enables us to manifest his love both to our fellow believers and also to fellow humans. It is often easy to love those who love us, but more difficult to love those who despitefully use us. Nevertheless, people will recognize us as Christ's disciple if we love him and others and keep his commandments. Now, let's take a look at God is love. Love defines the character of God from before the creation of the world and throughout eternity. He always has been and always will be the very essence of love, for he is love. He is the love, is not a reactive, but it is based upon his love that he has for his mankind and his creation. It's not based upon what you have done, how you are acting, or what you could have done, but it's based upon the fact that he loves what he created as a human being. And those that have chosen to say yes unto him, his love still goes towards those that even turn their backs on him and reject him and things. His love is commended. He commended his love towards us, wherever state we may find ourselves in, until we come even unto repentance and recognizing he is the true and the only living and wise God. And it says further in things, regardless of how or whether an individual returneth love, further, we will never deserve his love through our own righteousness or merit it through good works. We are worthy of his love, yet God, we are unworthy of his love, and yet God expresses his deep and abiding love towards us by saving, restoring, feeding, and helping, and comforting, and enabling us. His fathomless love inspires us in turn to love him through devotion and obedience. You'll see 1 John 4:10. Further, our understanding of his love deepens and broadens over time. The more we love him, the more we love him, and the more his love is manifested through us. Now let's look at Ephesians 3:17-19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to commend with all saying what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:17-19. As scribes, as Jesus, what is the first commandment of love of all? Matthew 12:28. Jesus replied, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Mark 12:29-30. God commands our love and will not tolerate being given secondary loyalty in our lives. Now, what if love is divided between him and someone or something else? What if we love someone or something more than we love him? The scripture even addressed divided love and loyalty. Let us consider these three examples that we have here. Number one, some people will not let go of their love of the world. Some people may decide not to follow Jesus because they want to continue to enjoy the pleasure of sin. Or once enlightened, others may turn back to the world, being drawn by the pull of former pleasures. The latter happened in the case of Demas. He had been a trusted fellow laborer with Paul, but when he had left his love for the Lord fade, he let it fade. His former love pulled him back into ungodly lifestyle. And you'll see 2 Timothy 4:10. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2:15. Let's look at the next example that the word of the Lord gives us. Some people will not let go of their love for their own life. This is the essence of selfishness. and it manifests itself in numerous ways. Jesus said if a person will not deny himself and take up his cross and follow him, he will lose his life, Matthew 16, verses 24 to 25. See also 2 Timothy 3 through 2, chapter 3, verse number 2. The Lord both desires and demands first place in our lives. Now, number 3, some people will not let go of their love for family. This could mean rejecting the gospel because of an upset, unbelieving family member or refusing to leave home to follow God whenever he's called. Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than they love me is not worthy of me, but he that loveth the son or the daughters more than me is not worthy of me, Matthew 10, verses 37. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love or hold to the one and despise the others, Matthew 6 and verse 24. Not only does God command us to love him, but he also commands us to love our neighbors, for the chief command are of equal significance. Jesus said, the second command is like the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Mark 12 and verse 31. Jesus taught extensively on this principle. A person cannot love, say he loved God, if he does not love his brother. The Apostle John also underscored this truth. Now, God loves all people, whether they are believers or unbelievers, whether they are dead to sin or dead in sin. But because we have received his love, he expects us to love others in the same way he loves as well. Let us look further. This does not come naturally. It happens only when we become a channel of his love for others. Only then will God's love radiate through us towards others, whether they treat us well or not. Further, true love is more than just a sentiment or emotion. It is a living principle that manifests itself in our actions. We may say we love, but how deep is our love? We may have established a line that we refuse to cross. We will love until this level of commitment reaches and then we will stop. Jesus' love is not like that. He loves and he wants us to be able to have allowed the love of God to even to shed abroad, even in our heart. And so it's critical as children of God as to desire to allow the love of God to be channeled through our lives as individual. Yes, continue the sharing as well that, yes, God hates sin. He hates sinful lifestyle and things. A lie is not going to carry in his eyesight and things. And in order for an individual to get in, they must be born again and things. That's critical. But the scripture says that through loving kindness have I drawn thee. Even someone had to tolerate and someone loved me to Christ and things. And God is still wanting us to love one another and allowing his love to radiate through our life. One cannot even calculate or measure it, the love that God has for us. The love of God has no limits or no boundaries in things. It goes beyond swelling words or lyrics of songs and a performance and things, but it goes on before that and beyond that. Sadly, the world has taken God's gift of the ability to love and bent it into an unrecognizable shape. Like a person's distorted reflection in a wavy mirror, some people's precept of love is disproportionated and sometimes perverted. For many, love is earthly and central, and some fall in love and out of love indiscriminately. Others have been burned by earthly love so many times that when someone expresses genuine love to them, they immediately suspect an arterial motive. Still, God loves all individuals because he created them in his image. He rules the world with his pure and undefiled love. And all believers are to demonstrate the same love to one towards another and to others. Now let's look at love emerges as the content of God's revelation and dealing. Now the Spirit of the Lord is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. No man has seen God at any time, John 1:18, for God is a spirit. Humankind only ability to observe God has existed by the glimpse of him through the temporary manifestations of God through various things. And God manifested Jesus Christ in the flesh, and further God revealed his love to mankind through his word, exploits, and its history and testimonials. We can know his love personally through his action, such as forgiveness and fellowship with him. Now, the content of God's love is his holiness. Since God's nature is holy, his love awfully must be holy. Mankind hallowing in the filth and the corruption of sin repulses God, but still with his love, he reaches down into the mire and draws us up to himself. His sacrifice on the cross revealed the depth of his love and sacrifice to reach the fallen humanity and offer redemption from the curse of sin and washes away the filthiness of sin. No wonder the songwriter penned the word, "Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me." Further, the history, even of the Israelites, display steadfast love and patience of God. From the Exodus until the Babylonian captivity, Israel was stuck in the pattern of backsliding, chastisement, forgiveness, and restoration as God sought to redeem them. He sent prophets to deliver messages of judgment, but also promises of forgiveness and restoration. For such a blessed people with a long history of miracles at the hand of God, it's difficult to understand that philandering the way. How could they turn away from the only true God who loved them and run to Baal and other idols who could not see, they could not see, who could not speak, who could not act, or could not even love them? Such as it is that individuals can turn their hearts away from God and start running after idol things or sensual lusts and various things in their heart. And God is always stretching forth his hand and saying, come back, pulling the bride, his bow back unto him, because he loves you. He loves his people and would not wish that any man would perish. And it's up to us to respond favorable into his love. And he knows that we don't have the ability outside of him to set things in order or straight, but he do want us to come to him and humble ourselves and receive his love and to go on to be the men and the women of God that he wants us to be. Now, further, he said, how far-reaching is the love of God? One cannot even compute it. And calculate and measure it. His love is never faltered. It is consistent. Further, he delights in blessing and caring for and enabling those who love him. And he grieves when he must merit out judgment because the sinner refuses to repent. Now, let's look further, because love is such a powerful motivation. Let's look at the Song of Solomon 8:7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Now, let's look further. The love of a father will compel him to sacrifice his desire for his children. A soldier's love for his country compels him to fight to death if necessary. A spiritual realm, love causes men and women to give their lives to establish new churches, to go into distant continents as missionary. It compels countless believers to witness and minister to the community, teach Sunday school, and to work in various church ministry. Now, let's look at the love of God. Now, the power of God's love causes him to give. He gave up the splendor, the wealth, the majesty, and adoration of heaven to accept the poverty and lowliness and rejection of humanity. He gifted mankind with mercy, grace, compassion, healing, forgiveness, and ultimately his own life. It was the most selfless, extravagant display of love the world could have ever known. No wonder John wrote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." John 1 John 3:1. For Jesus, the greatest pain of crucifixion was not the manipulation of his body and things, mutilation of his body or the mocking of the gainsayer. The greatest pain was that our Lord bore in his body was the sin of the whole world. He who knew no sin became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He withheld nothing of the price of redemption for fallen man. We kept him nailed on the cross and things, and that's what kept him nailed on the cross. He could have called on a host of angels, but love for us constrained him. He could have struck back at his accuser, but he submitted to their abuse and humiliation they heaped upon him as a criminal. With one word, he could have overpowered the soldier who beat him, but he chose to suffer the stripes on his back for our salvation and healing. He could not have done any more than that. He gave his all. Christ's death on the cross was the ultimate example of sacrificial love. He died that we might live. Further, God, the love of God in us. Let's take a look at that. We often refer to the day of Pentecost as the birthday of the church. In the same sense, every person, personal Pentecost become their spiritual birthday. Every sinner who is born of water and spirit cries in the repentance in the born of water through the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and receives the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give others. John marveled over God's loving gift of spiritual birth. What manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. Now, children often exhibit the same look and nature and characteristics or even mannerism and quirks as of both of their parents or as one of them. Likewise, as children of God, we mirror his nature and attribute. We amplify his love. If we have one another, God dwelleth, love one for another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Now, living in his love motivated us to go, give, minister, and spend our day as living sacrifice. Like God, we should give ourselves in selfless service to others. It is the only rational response to the priceless gift God has bestowed upon us. Paul cited his first convert in a character, Stephen, and his household as an example of this. Ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is of the first fruit of Acharya, and this they had devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And they had given themselves over to just the ministry of the saints and things through love. Now, let's look here. Love is the supreme quality of a child of God. Now, love seeks an outlet of expression and produce a response. It is not flowery words, but a living force that propels us to go beyond the sense of duty and obligation to give of our all to him. We are channels through which the Spirit of God flows to touch the lives of others. God does not ask us to go to the cross. Through many Christians, many have died as martyrs through the centuries. He asks us to present our bodies as living sacrifice, Romans 12:1, instead of hoarding to ourselves the mercy and love of God has lavished on us. We give it away to others. We become his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece to declare his love in words and in deed to a hurting world. Now, as light and darkness, we compel darkness by shining God's love through our lives as a beacon in night. Shining our light by leading others to his light is our opportunity to show God how much we appreciate his wonderful blessing of redemption. Angels cannot understand this ministry because they cannot experience redemption from sin. Until they experience the new birth, neither can the unbeliever understand the zeal and the fervor that compel believers. Love causes us to display priorities and attitude foreign to the carnal ways of thinking. The world does not understand people who do not retaliate when they are abusive and mistreated, but we who are willing to forgive others, we have an abiding joy in spite of life circumstances. Our lifestyle and appearances draw their attention. People notice we are not bound by enslaving in habits of drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. We do not talk about the same things or go to the same places they frequent for entertainment because we have been set aside, and God said for us to come from out from among them and be separated, said the Lord, and for us to not to touch the unclean things. People who may never read the scripture watch our lives closely, reading us like a living epistle. This is not a display of arrogance or self-righteousness. Instead, we are trying to please our Savior. This is the love of God on display in our lives. Now, the greatest example of love, the love of God in us, is brotherly kindness and compassion for one another. The Apostle Paul gave practical example of how to amplify the love of God, or as he called it, partakers of the divine nature. Now, let's look further. Paul approached the subject of love from a different angle by providing a more detailed list of the attributes of God. And you see that over in 1 Corinthians 13. He also cautions that we exercise a spiritual gift is meaningless unless we do it in the content of brotherly love. Loving others does not stem from a feeling. It stems from a decision. Because we love, we decide to show patience, kindness, and courtesy. We decide not to be envious or proud or concerned only about ourselves. We decide to be poor record keepers when it comes to who wronged us and things. We curb our temper when it comes to provocation, when people try to provoke us. We decide to rejoice in truth and to protect the reputation of others, the trust and hope and perseverance. This is the love of God on display. Judas betrayed Jesus because he loved what was in the money bag more than he loved Jesus. Demons left Paul because he loved this present world more than he loved Jesus. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Many commentators asserted that the question Peter because Peter had declared he would never leave the Lord, even if all other would leave or had left. Still, Peter had denied him under duress. Jesus was not trying to shame Peter, but to help him to understand what is necessary to help him hold firm to our commitment of love to our Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we love something else more than God, an adverse effect on our lifestyle, devotion, and witnessing, and church attendance, and giving, and things. To manifest the love of God requires a dedicated, sacrificial walk with him. We need to examine our list of priorities and reposition them if Jesus is not first. Jude advised, keep yourself in the love of God, Jude 21. Keep oneself in God's love until living out of an aspect of love outlined in 1 Corinthians 13. It means maintaining a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ and producing the fruit of his spirit. It means walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, the love of God is powerful, motivating force. Because he loved his creation, God manifests himself in the flesh as the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He lived a humble life and things of obscurity until he began this ministry. He then healed lepers and made mute to speak and opened deaf ears. He delivered the demon-possessed and those bound by the spirit of infirmity. Because he loved, he gave mankind the opportunity to enter into his kingdom. And because he loved, he offered himself as a sinless sacrifice on the cross. There has never been a greater example of genuine love. We as believers can only obey the plan of salvation and have a sinless, and that sinless blood of the Lamb applied to our life. The Lord washes away our sin through repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. We witness to others, and because this promise is for all who will obey the gospel, we give ourselves to God and others as living sacrifice. This is the love of God on display. And so in my conclusion, we must recognize that a lot of times, you know, people don't want to give up their sin. They don't want to give up self and other things that they hold on to. But it's critical as to becoming a child of God, as a believer, we must obey the gospel and things and obey the word of the Lord and come out from among them and be separated and touch not the unclean things of the world. Yes, we are obligated as the children of God to love and things, but if you want to get into heaven and if you want to be able to make your home eternally in heaven, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And thing, the water and the baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance, and then thereafter living holy and righteous before the Lord our God. Yes, God did, and he will continue to display himself and his love for humanity until he rapture the church out. And so, as I say in my conclusion and things, draw nigh unto the Lord with a pure and a clean heart before him. And even as Jude had put it for us and said it so wonderfully in things, let us continue to live in his love and things and allow him to flow and move in our life. And as the scripture said, in him I live and I move and I have my being. And that's where God wants us to live and to reside, in that place. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that he should call us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. May God richly bless you on today. I pray that you will become a spiritual display cabinet of God's love and things in action and deed and even in your word and things. Let us as the church be a reflection of what God is to humanity, and God is love. Let us love one another. Let us strive to continue to be all that God will want us to be. And so, children of God, even in my closing on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And he is just one question away from your miracle. Yes, just one question. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you, because you dared to ask. And boldly and courageously asked of God, and he will give of it unto you. And so, child of God, let us draw nigh unto the Lord our God. Let us be the men and the women of the Lord that God has called us out to be. We must recognize, too, as never before, that we are living in a day and a time that the coming of the Lord is so soon to come. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you have not repented and turned from your sin, I encourage you in things to and admonish you to consider the ways of the Lord. He has established these ways. These are not man-made ways, but these are the ways that have been established of the Lord our God. And consider to look into the whole scripture and things like the Berean children did. They studied the scripture to see whether these things would be true. Get into the word of the Lord and study the word. And most of all, the greatest thing that we can do, we can go down on our knees and ask of God to show us the truth, to lead and guide us into truth. Now, Jude would say, he said, keep yourself in the love of God. Jude 21 is my closing. May we cloak ourselves and clothe ourselves, our minds, our heart, our motives, our spirit, with the true love of God, keeping our hearts, our minds, and our soul in the love of God. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We thank you for our hearers on today. We pray that you bless them, pray that you undergird and fortify them and strengthen them as this word will resonate down in their spirit and heart and soul. And Father, we thank you because without you, we can do nothing. We are absolutely nothing. And Father, let your love be shed abroad in our hearts. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. And until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord be with you. Call someone. Encourage them to log into home on Tuesdays and Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I look forward to you joining me again. May the blessings of the Lord be with you. It's my prayer. God bless you. Bye-bye.